Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and thank you if you join me on other weeks and the guests that we have on the show. I really appreciate people that do listen to the show, and actually had some really interesting conversations with people recently about guests that we've had on the show, which is always nice as well. So if you do have some feedback, it's always really interesting to hear it. Either mail us directly, winning@innerfight.com, or you can rate and review the podcast as well. I haven't asked anyone to do that for quite a long time. So if you enjoy it, rate and review it. If you do that in iTunes, if not on Spotify, somewhere else, or just share it with someone, that would be really awesome. I hope you've had a fantastic week. And I hope you're ready for 9 simple things today. Today I'm talking about 9 things you can do in daily life to build mental resilience. It's just me, I'm on my own, but it's something that I get asked a lot. People ask me, how do I build mental resilience? I know that maybe ultra running, ultra cycling, extreme physical challenges are not for everybody. And I've never once said, and I do not believe, that that is the only place that you can build mental resilience. In fact, sometimes those challenges are somewhat easier than some of the things I'm going to speak about in today's show. I put together these 9 things based on things that I do every day, have done every day, encourage people to do every day, do some days for some periods of time, and then change. But they're tools that I have used throughout my life, and I have had some great results using with clients that I wanted to share with you guys. This is episode number 760 of the Inner Fight Podcast, and 9 things you can do in daily life to build mental resilience. Enjoy the show. So, what if I told you you could do some things in your daily life that would make you stronger and more mentally resilient? And no, don't get any silly ideas. You don't have to come out to the desert with me. You don't have to run up a mountain. You don't have to cycle anywhere. You actually don't even have to do a workout. You probably, well, actually maybe some of these things might get you a little bit out of breath, but they're not what you'd know, I guess, as physically overly demanding. Yes, there are certain things that you can do and that you should be doing and that maybe some of you are actually doing in your life today that are or that can help you to build mental resilience, which is quite cool. If we think about mental resilience, it's actually to a large extent discipline. It's the discipline to keep going when things are challenging you in various different ways. And we're facing challenges in life in a number of different ways. Whether you're facing a challenge to go to the gym, whether you're facing a challenge in your work life, whether you're facing a challenge in your personal life, whether you're just feeling a little bit, lacking a little bit of motivation. Is it motivation or is it discipline? And we've spoken about this before, but a lot of mental resilience really is discipline. It's almost learning to be uncomfortable for a short period of time in the knowing that that discomfort in that time, maybe the next time it comes around, will not necessarily be discomfort. And suffering that discomfort or going through that discomfort, you know that you're going to gain long-term benefits. So I've put together a list of things that you can do in daily life that don't all take much time that I have either done myself, or all of them I've done myself, for long periods of time. I've used them on clients for short, medium, and long periods of time with, I'll be totally honest, varying results. Some of my clients, I've not managed to completely unlock them and not managed to get them to maintain these habits on an ongoing basis. And when I take ownership for that, in that when they do that and when they don't maintain them on a long-term basis, then the effects of them drop. So let's kick it off. Number one, And these are in no particular order. So this is not like the one thing that you should do. These are 9 ideas I think I had and put into practice, tested, and have found that they work. So number one is saying no to things that do not serve you. In 2018, I actually posted a quote. For those of you that follow me on Instagram, thank you very much. Sorry if it's boring. I posted a quote. I post a quote every single day. I've done it since 2018, or just before, actually. I think it was the end of 2017 I started. God knows why I started. But it's one of those things. My OCD now won't let me stop. And every time I hear of someone who has got benefit from my quote, it gives me a massive amount of motivation to keep them going, which is a good and bad thing. Because some days I'm like, is anyone actually reading this? Is it useful? Because I started it as therapy for myself and then it became a little bit bigger. Anyway, that's beside the point. But I posted a quote in, I was reminded just a few weeks ago by Tom Walker in April 2018 that basically said, the hardest thing you're going to do today is say no to things that do not take you towards your goals. That's cool. Just roll with it. Something along those lines. And Tom actually wrote an article recently about that and how he wasn't working here at the time, but how that thought process on that quote and that mindset completely changed a lot of things for him. It cleaned up a lot of stuff that he was wasting time on that didn't take him towards his goal. And it basically changed the game for him. We get asked to do a lot of things in various areas of our life. There's always going to be someone that's going out to socialize. There's always going to be someone that's asking you to do something in the workplace. There's always going to be things that you somehow, and I think this is evolution of us as a human race, as society, we become increasingly uncomfortable in saying no to people. Is it the fact that we are suffering a certain state of FOMO, fear of missing out? Or is it that we want to say yes because we've been told to say yes, because if you don't say yes, then you might miss an opportunity? It's interesting. And there's no hard and fast way for it. But I think the easiest application of this say no to things that do not serve you is not to say yes or no immediately. And this is what we're quite bad at as humans. We're not very good at just saying to people, give me 2 minutes, I'll come back to you. Or let me think about that, I'll come back to you tomorrow. It's almost like we feel like we should answer immediately, which of course we don't need to do. Unless it's on the spot and someone in a shop is saying, do you want a piece of cake? But you could even say, give me a minute, let me think about it. It's actually one of the techniques that a lot of nutritionists will use for people in dieting. If they're starting to crave a Mars bar. Okay, you can crave a Mars bar. Just wait half an hour. Do you still want the Mars bar? Wait another half an hour. You get my point. So sometimes we're saying things because that's how we've been programmed as society to say yes, because we think we should say yes, because if we don't say yes, we'll miss out on an opportunity. But do we actually think about the implications? Do we think about the implications of saying yes on our sleep that night, on our recovery the next day, on our encounter with our boss the following day? There's a need to create a little bit more awareness and a little bit more thought about the consequences of your decisions, which also doesn't really play into a lot of the happy-go-lucky life that we see promoted today, especially what we've been through the last few years where people are now going, I live for today, I live for today. But if you want to build mental resilience, you want to become a more resilient human, you need to be focusing on the things that serve you, the things that help you to pursue your vision, the things that help you to come closer to your goals, and the things that ultimately make you happy. Things that excite you and excite you for the right reasons. So the number one thing is say no to things that do not serve you. Number two, do not react to things you do not need to. It's not you, it's them. The chimp paradox solves nothing. We often react and spend a disproportionate amount of energy on things that are not really our problem. And when we're spending that energy and that time on things that are not our problem, we're unable to spend time and energy on things that are our problem. A good example of this is a friend that you've had the same conversation with multiple times. Now, you might not have unlocked them, and you might just want to keep on trying, but at the end of the day, it's not you, it's them. That's where the problem lies. And you have to decide how much time and energy you want to spend on a situation. We often react, we get stressed out with things that we just don't need to be stressed out with. It's a really hard thing to do. We see it in funny examples like reacting to people beeping the horn in a traffic jam. We react, we get stressed out. That's just our default setting in a way. My challenge to you is not reacting to those things. This way, we'll definitely build mental resilience because it is incredibly hard. Because we're talking about undoing years and years of programming, of seeing our parents reacting in their car, of seeing our friends reacting in the car, but all the time, no one ever hears us. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Number three, wake up ready. When you woke up this morning, were you ready? Were you excited? Did you have what I remember? This was in one of the early inner talks where one of our speakers stood up on the stage and said, you need to get some fire in your belly. Do you wake up with that fire in your belly, with that excitement, ready to go? Ready to do things that'll make you better, not to get to a job that you hate. It's a really interesting thought. Waking up ready every day is almost, it's an exercise of building mental resilience, but it's also a culmination of carrying out that exercise repeatedly. Because it takes quite a lot to wake up ready every day. It takes a lot of self-awareness. It takes a lot of reflection. It takes a lot of knowing what you want and whether you're pursuing that vision. It takes the discipline that I spoke about earlier to go to bed on time, because you're never going to wake up ready if you don't, which is actually point four. And these two are, you could flip these around. I did a show on this, morning rituals, evening rituals, and everyone wants to know what your secret is for your morning rituals, whereas actually you can only do, in my opinion anyway, you can only take care of your morning rituals and a great morning routine if you have a good evening routine. Because if you don't have a good evening routine, it means that you're not going to get to bed on time. If you don't get to bed on time, then when the alarm goes off in the morning, you're not going to be ready. So three and four kind of go hand in hand. If you get to bed on time, you'll wake up ready. I want you to have a think. In the last 7 days, how many days have you woken up ready? How many days have you woken up and literally wanted to do a backflip out of the bed? And some of you are listening to me going, yeah, that just doesn't even happen. Well, it does. It happens to people that understand why they're waking up, they're excited that and have some fire in their belly, and it can happen to you. It won't happen if you're getting ready to go to a job that you hate or you're late. Well, you might actually do a double backflip out of the bed if you're in a bed with a person that you don't really want to be in that bed with. But it definitely happens. It takes discipline. It takes knowing where you want to be. And it takes a conscious effort to be excited. The last thing I do pretty much every night before I go to bed is I ask myself, what am I excited about tomorrow? And I also ask Holly, and she laughs at me every single night. But I know what my schedule is, and I know what I'm excited about. And it's not absolutely every single thing that I'm going to do the next day. Today I've got to do some Excel spreadsheets. Am I massively excited about them? No, not really. Are they part of my life, part of my job? Yes. Can I outsource them? No. Do I need to do them? Yes. Am I still not excited? Yes, I'm still not excited. But I'm super excited about doing this show. I'm super excited about some of the clients that I've met with today. And I woke up ready for it. And some mornings, even if you don't have anything on, maybe you could wake up ready for your cup of coffee and create some excitement around that. What this does, and you might think I've gone off on a little bit of a tangent here, and we're talking about building mental resilience, but what this does is even the moment when you're having a really tough time physically, mentally, or emotionally, you're able to see a positive in something. Because on a day where you have Excel spreadsheets all day, it's often easy just to see the Excel spreadsheets all day and not see the beautiful husband or wife that you just left in the bed and the amazing cup of coffee, cup of tea, cup of water, whatever it is you're going to have. Be committed to waking up ready. And to make that happen, as I said just a few minutes ago, be committed to going to bed on time. This takes discipline. Discipline builds mental resilience. Everyone can go to bed on time. No one needs to watch these stupid box sets. No one needs to sit there scrolling Instagram, even if it's your job, even if you're getting paid millions for being an Insta, that one. You don't need to be up all night. You need to create the discipline to have a bedtime routine that puts your phone to bed at least an hour before you go to bed. That involves some winding down, some reflection on the day, some conversation. Imagine that. Or, if you don't have anyone to have the conversation with, some reading. And not some reading that puts you into a spin or creates more tension and stress and crazy thoughts. And this is something that I've worked on quite hard over the last few years, is having two or three different books on the go at once. I was reading a book, it was probably in about 2019, 2020, and it was very technical. And therefore, when I'd go to read it at night, it would either not go in at all, and I'd wake up the next morning and be like, I'd have to read all those chapters again, or not even all those chapters, but those four or five pages again. Or if I was not absolutely knackered before going to bed, what it would do is it would almost stimulate more thoughts in my mind, which made me not sleep well, which some days made me contradict point three, which is waking up ready, because I'd have been up all night thinking about it. So going to bed on time is not just, yep, I'm going to be in bed at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock tonight. Going to bed on time is also understanding what you have to do to, when you go to bed, be ready to go to sleep. So now my bedtime reading, which I still like to carry out, is 10 to 15 minutes, but it's of what I would call a more interesting storybook. Could be something like a sports autobiography, something that's interesting, not something that's biomechanics or anything like that, economics, where I'm sort of really trying to learn something. So I've segregated my books, and those of you that heard me speak about it, Kindle's kind of really helped me on that, because I have them all on one device, and that device doesn't allow me to do anything else but read, which sometimes is frustrating, but that's a completely different point. Number four, please make sure you go to bed on time. Number five is a trick that I think I learned when I was probably in school, and not through any voluntary sort of situation to build mental resilience, but it was just the case that often our showers at school were ice cold. And being in the UK, ice cold means ice cold. In winter, it was probably below freezing outside when we wake up in the morning. So the shower water had been in the pipes and it was probably not much above 4 or 5 degrees. And I would always see all the other kids complain and sort of not really get in the shower, although we were supposed to get in the shower and whinge about it. And I thought to myself, I can either hate this, but I can't change it, or I can embrace it. And I can use it as a tool to become mentally stronger. And you'll have seen lots of different uses of ice cold water. Obviously, Wim Hof has, the Iceman, has brought a lot of attention to the use of ice cold water, cold thermogenesis. There's a number of different research projects out there or research papers out there that confirm the time in ice to have certain different effects, whether it's muscle recovery, whether it's building mental resilience now, it's combined with breathing. There's all sorts of great stuff that's available out there. And you can start this. Even if you live in Dubai, even if it's the middle of summer, even if you don't have access from your tap to ice cold water, you could just put one bottle or two bottles in the fridge, which your fridge should be somewhere around 4 to 8 degrees the night before you go to bed. And when you wake up, it'll be that temperature. Stand in the shower, take the bottle of water and pour it on your head. It's cold, really cold. And if you get it right on the right spot of your head, you'll probably start to feel a very short temporary headache. It's that cold. But what that does is it helps you to build mental resilience. It gives you a very interesting feeling as well. You don't believe me? Try and do it. And do it every day. One thing that I actually haven't said, which I should have said, is that this is not a buffet. Well, it is a buffet of things. There's a load of different things. And I wouldn't suggest that you take all 9 of them at once and try and implement them. I would suggest you take 1, 2, 3, whatever you feel you can manage. But these are things that you should be doing every single day. You're able to train the mind. You're able to build this mental resilience every single day without even going out for a run, as I started off with. So why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you put that ice cold, that water bottle in the fridge so that when you come out in the morning, it's ice cold, it's between 4 to 8 degrees, and pour it on your head? Because I can guarantee you that helps you to build mental resilience. You still with me? Yes, I do it every day. I struggle with that one because it was getting hot in Dubai, and that's how I went to a bottle of water. And now when I go to the UK, it's super easy. All the showers are cold again. And then when you do get a hot shower, it's like, whoa, this is absolutely amazing. So it changes everything. Number 6, spending some time alone. The world's quite busy. Everyone's quite busy. There's lots of different things going on. And you can be entertained on a number of different levels in a number of different ways pretty much every waking hour. But what does that do? That leads to quite a confused mind. It leads to a lot of different thoughts going around, and often is the case, so many of them are so contradicting. This is what's quite funny as well. Lots of people that look for example, workout regimes through things like social media will be feeling incredibly confused and quite often very contradicted. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do the other? And they'll find one guy or girl who they really like the exercise, really like the look of, or like the number of followers they've got. And then they'll follow that workout for probably a week or 2 weeks. And then they'll go to the next. And then they'll go to the next. And they never end up progressing in any way, because a normal workout sort of strength block, if you like, could take 12 to 16 weeks, but no one these days is doing anything consistently for more than 2 to 3 weeks because there's so much noise out there. There's so much going on. So number 6 is spending some time alone in what I'd call solitude. And this is probably one of the things on this list that you would think is perhaps the easiest, but will prove the hardest. We've been training ourselves to be entertained the whole time, to be distracted the whole time, to have information coming in the whole time. Essentially, we're having subconscious sensory overload the whole time at the moment. And it's almost in a scenario where it's become our norm, which is quite crazy in itself. So the exercise here is very simply. Find a few minutes in your day, turn your device off, have no one around you, maximum, I'll allow, or I suggest, should I say, is have some instrumental only music in the background. Nothing you can, no Britney Spears where we can sing along and all that kind of stuff. That's obviously what I do. And just sit there and be. Don't make it super comfortable, like you're on the couch and lay down. The best is, and maybe you're getting the picture in your mind now, it's more of a meditative position. Sit on the floor on a cushion, cross-legged, and just be. Stare into space. The first minute will be incredibly challenging for a number of people, and you might not make it past 60 seconds on day one. Yep. Based on the research that I've done or the people that I've suggested this to and the feedback that I've got. For some of you, getting through, it's almost like an ice bath, getting through 60 seconds is hard. And then after that, until about, well, for me anyway, until about 12 or 13 minutes, it's actually quite easy. But that first 60 seconds, still when I get in 5 to 8 degree water, it's still very, very cold and very hard for me. And solitude is the same. And your brain will be going at 300 miles an hour because you can't quite understand, because you're not used to it, because you haven't programmed your brain in this way. You don't know why you're doing it. You don't know what to think. There's a million different thoughts. You're thinking about what you should be doing, what you could be doing. Maybe the laundry should be on, or maybe you should be doing something on social media. Maybe you should be talking to someone. You're thinking about your day ahead, and you're thinking about all of these crazy different things. And that's okay. Let the brain run. You're not going to control it. Don't worry. The thoughts will come. Just let them come. Some days it'll be absolute mayhem and it'll be very difficult not to want to hop up and write something down. And you're going to think, if I don't get up right now and write this thing down, I'm going to miss an opportunity. Refer to point one about opportunities. And you just sit. And if you can get through the first minute, go to the second minute. And if you can do two, can you do four or five? If you can do 5 minutes in solitude a day, and you can do it every single day, you'll develop an incredible ability to be alone with yourself, which in itself is an insane amount of mental resilience. It sounds, I think they all sound quite simple, and some of them are, but it sounds simpler than it is for a lot of people. That one's come with a warning. Let's move to number seven. Number seven is to follow the course. If you're on a diet, follow the course. If you've committed to something at work, follow the course. If you're in a relationship, follow the course. If you're on a training plan, follow the course. If you agreed to go out with friends, follow the course. How many times do people agree to go out with you and then something better will come up, or they'll want to change it? We're very bad at following the course. If the course doesn't serve you, then that's okay. Change the course. But at stages, we might not really understand why we're in this particular part of the course, but that's okay, just follow it. And a great example of this is, you know, if you are on an eating plan, or you're on a, I don't like the word diets, but you, listen, you've eaten like shit for too long and you're trying to fix it, and I think that that in itself is really awesome. But there's always going to be, this is what I hate about the corporate world as well, sorry, for the people that are in the corporate world. But there's always going to be someone's birthday where they bring birthday cake around. You know, you work in an office of 300 people, there's going to be at least, given that there might be some days where that is the same, just to let you know how my maths works, there's at least going to be 250 days of the year where there's going to be a birthday cake to celebrate. Stupid concept. Why do we do this? Why do we do this to people? They wake up in the morning, they have birthday cake with their family, they go to the office, they have birthday cake with their colleagues, and then they go out at night and they have birthday cake with their friends, and we wonder why people are obese. Anyway, all the time, there's going to be someone leaving, having a birthday, having an excuse for you to break your eating plan. You don't have to be antisocial. You can refer point one and say no to things that do not serve you. But human interaction is good. Going out to someone's leaving do is good. Going out to someone's birthday is good. But you don't have to drink beer and eat shit food if you're on the course of cleaning your diet up and losing some weight. It's hard. Especially if we go back to that programming that I've spoken about, when we're in that environment, our brain tells us it's time for a beer, it's time for a burger, because that's what we associate with birthdays and celebrations, someone leaving, someone getting promoted, someone... Weddings are different. Anyway, follow the course. No matter what the course is at that stage, follow it. It doesn't mean that you have to miss certain things. It might do from time to time, but that's okay. Number eight. We're nearly there. And yes, that's every time. Number eight. Be thankful. How often do we say thank you? How often do we say thank you to those around us? How often do we give thanks to ourselves? And why? We can give thanks to ourselves and we can give thanks to others really only when we reflect. Yes, in the moment we can give thanks, but we can be more grateful and thankful. And this is why gratitude diaries and daily reflections have become quite popular and are incredibly powerful for people if we spend time in reflection. And a really simple exercise is, don't worry about the fancy books. If that's what motivates you, do it. I've never really got on well with them, to be honest. And I've never really, and I've said this on a number of shows, mine and other podcasts I've been on, I've never really been one for every single day going through and writing down what I'm thankful for and how things went and reflection. However, I do it every day subconsciously and consciously. So it's just a natural thing that Holly and I will do. When we sit down to dinner, we'll reflect on the day, we'll smile about what's good, and we'll be thankful. And I think there's a lot to be thankful for in reflection, and there's also a lot to be thankful for in the moment. Are you thankful, and are you grateful, and do you bring positive energy to the guy that fills gas in your car here in Dubai? It doesn't happen in Europe or anywhere else in the world, so you guys might not know what I'm talking about. How do you treat the guy that serves your coffee? Are you angry that his hot water is too hot or he's 1 minute late because he's got another customer? Or are you thankful and grateful in that moment that actually you'll get that coffee? And the fact that you were late is your fault, not his, but you're taking it out on him. There's a number of different areas that you can practice being thankful and grateful in your life on a daily basis. Remember, we're talking about nine things you can do in daily life to build mental resilience. Being thankful and grateful is something that we can practice pretty much all day, every day. It doesn't always have to come with words. It can often come with just a smile. It can come with a gesture. Order someone something off Amazon to thank them for what they've done for you. Everyone, no matter who you are, everyone loves to get an Amazon delivery or a delivery that they don't know about. It's so exciting. It's such a simple and easy tool. So it's not just saying thanks and not meaning it, which we see a lot. We can display our thanks and gratitude in a number of different ways. And point number eight is just that. Every single day, be thankful. If that's through reflection or if that's just through being a good dude, then please do it. It will help you to become a more resilient human being. Number nine, And I'm not sure why I've left this one to last. I think, as I said, there was no real order. I just was thinking, and I got to nine things, and I was like, that's pretty good. It's probably one of the hardest things because of a number of things that I've said about the way that the world has moved and the way that we have chosen as human beings to start operating. However, number nine is to turn off your notifications. A lot of people are sat there thinking and saying immediately, I won't be able to work. My job depends on it. Does it really? And if it does, is that making you the very best human being? I think I can my notifications a couple of years ago. The only way my phone makes a noise is through a phone call, which is on silent, so it doesn't actually make a noise. It doesn't have to be for 24 hours a day at the start. It could be in spurts. Yes, you might need some notifications on for certain parts of the day, for certain reasons. If you're a parent and you've gone out and you need your babysitter to contact you just in case of emergency, then you might feel more comfortable having the option of a notification. Not sure what happened in the old days, but still. Maybe mom and dad didn't go out or didn't care. But I think it's challenging to develop mental strength if you can not be distracted. Think about that. If your life depends on distractions and reactions to distractions, then are you really developing mental strength? Try it for a day, see how you go. It's probably one of the hardest things. And it's the hardest thing for a number of actual, almost addiction reasons, is that the way that our phones and our notifications are working these days is engineered with neuroscientists. So it's creating reactions in our brain that actually make us feel good with dopamine. And we've spoken about this on the show before. But I believe that if you're able to get rid of them, you're much easier able to build mental resilience. There we have it. Nine different things. Some of them might work with you. Some of them might not work with you. Some of them you might be able to implement today. Some of them, it might take you a lot longer to implement. But hopefully, you can pick up one or two and try and use them every day and see the difference. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll catch you next time.